It's just another day, but oh, what a day. And it's the news according to me. It's already, is it already Tuesday? How'd that happen? Yesterday was Monday, and all of a sudden it's Tuesday. I guess it's just like one day after another. Kind of like, I bet tomorrow will be Wednesday. Before you know it, it'll be Wednesday tomorrow. Yeah. I've got, today I've got a little trip I got to take up to Wisconsin. I got to go up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Check on a bubbler over by the time machine. If you're actually from Wisconsin, you understand what I'm talking about, but otherwise you probably don't have a clue. So I'm not from Wisconsin. I just spent a lot of time there. They have a whole different way of speaking up there. Get your bigs. Put your bigs on the plane. Because we're going to go West Wisconsin now. I think most of my show this morning is probably going to be about this because I was just listening to this recently and it was pretty upsetting. Well, not upsetting. It was actually, well, it's upsetting. Yeah. It's upsetting. It's hopeful. I guess I'm getting tired of being hopeful. I'm getting tired of being hopeful about, and not about good things. I'm very pessimistic, I guess, about the news media, the justice system that we have in place right now, this administration, and thinking that anything is going to actually be done about any of this stuff. And if anything is done, does anybody care? That's the whole other thing. We talk about a lot of things. One of the things we don't talk enough about, I don't think, is what's in my cup. We have, this morning, I'm in a rut. I'm definitely in a rut here now, because this is like the third, fourth, tenth show I've done. By the way, we're on episode number 367, I think, or something now. Is that right? 360 something. And that's a lot. If you count that number, it's a lot. If you have dollar bills, that's not a lot. If you have $100 bills, now you're talking about some money. If you have, if those are pounds of gold, that's a lot. I'm trying to relate this to you so you can understand it. Those of you who have a lot of gold. I'm trying to cover the common man as well as the rich guy. That's trying to be inclusive here. But I have this, I have my chai with my French vanilla creamer in it. And now as my backup, I've got sweet tea, but this is a little different sweet tea. This is sweet tea from Dairy Queen, and that's just not the same. I stopped at a Dairy Queen last night. I was working on my boat, trying to get it ready to go in the water. And it's pathetic. It's the kind of tea that comes out of a machine. It's one of those things. I went through the drive-through, and it was just the most convenient place to stop. So I stopped and got a burger. Their burgers are not the same as they used to be. This did not taste like it was flame broiled or grilled at all. It tasted like a really bad McDonald's cheeseburger. So I'm not sure what that was about. But I ate it anyway, because you have to eat it to get the whole experience. Maybe the next bite's going to be better. And then by the time it's all eaten, you're like, well, that's gone. Glad I got that over with. The French fries are really good, though. I have to say, Dairy Queen's French fries, in my opinion, I like them better than McDonald's fries in some ways. McDonald's fries are heavily salted. So I think that's why people like them so much. But the Dairy Queen and French fries, and they were hot too. That makes a huge difference. They're a little bit bigger cut, a little bit larger, and they're very hot. I thought they were pretty good. So that's what's in my cup. Anyway, one of the things that's going on, and this is something I don't know necessarily if we If we really look into this, this stuff, the whole Russiagate thing, the Durham trial, the Durham investigation. He's an independent counsel appointed by Barr, which, of course, I don't know what that means. When Bill Barr appointed Durham as an independent counsel, you know that he had to have picked him based on certain criteria. By that, I mean he didn't just pick his name out of a hat, oh, we got this guy, or this guy I know will go after everybody involved and get everything done. Now, maybe he did. Maybe that is the case. Maybe Bill Barr's issue is he just wants this whole Trump thing to blow over. Now, I don't know. I think Bill Barr is not a fan of President Trump. Does not think he should be in office at all. All this stuff is going on right now with this trial. There are some bombshell revelations coming out of this. Because this is the beginning. This was the beginning of the whole Russiagate thing. You have to understand, this was when it was concocted. Now, Hillary Clinton didn't come up with all this. She was just, you know, this was all presented to her as an idea, I'm sure. It's Will Cain, who is on, I think he's on Fox News, but he's pretty outspoken and is a pretty, what's the word? He's an unapologetic Trump supporter. One of the few on Fox News. Now, Tucker Carlson, I think it was last night, he's just been hammering on some things recently. One of the things he was hammering on yesterday was the whole issue of some of the things that Biden's been saying lately, and how ridiculously just the lack of IQ. There's no other way to put it. Of Kamala Harris, it is downright embarrassing at this point. She's made some statements, and again, it's like every day she makes statements that are, it's like a record that's skipping, and she just can't get out of this loop. It's like she has no ability to respond on her toes to, in the middle of her own speech, she gets herself tripped up. I mean, you think Joe Biden is bad. At least he's reading a teleprompter. He can kind of get by. Now, he'll make these stupid statements. Like, he was asked the other day, are we going to help Taiwan militarily? Yes. That's a commitment we made. But no, it's not. That's not the policy. And stating so is dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. We have to be very clear and careful about what we say, about what our policy is. This is the kind of stuff that they accused Trump's going to get us into war. No, this is the kind of stuff that will get us into war. And look at where we're at now with Ukraine. We are still a hair's breadth away. I don't know if hairs breathe. Hairs might not breathe. I just came up with that term, hair's breadth. I'm not even sure if anybody has ever used that before. This is right here. You're hearing this new terminology right here on this show. We're groundbreaking, out there on the edge. Hair's breadth. We are hair's breadth, and here I am joking about it, but we're hair's breadth away from nuclear war, in my opinion, with Russia. And now that they are struggling even more, we're finding that they are, the rhetoric for nuclear involvement has even increased now. Desperate people do desperate things. We have some desperate leaders right now in Russia. The war is not going well. Protests have started escalating in Russia. They cannot control it anymore. Their soldiers are dying, and people are wondering why their children are dying in this war. It's a very unpopular thing right now among most of the people of Russia, as well as the rest of the world. Well, this Will Cain interview that he has with Kash Patel, I think the guy's name is. There, it's very revealing in terms of the entire operation, the way things work behind the scenes with the intel organizations and some of the other things that are going on in terms of just the disinformation and the whole the game that they're playing with us. And then we have people like Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and some of these other absolutely ridiculous individuals that they're putting up in front of Congress to lead certain organizations and parts of our government. It's overwhelming, which is exactly what they want. That the whole, please read the book Rules for Radicals. You'll understand what all is going on. I'm sure most of our country's never read it, but it is very revealing in terms of what is going on in the country and what these people are about. Their whole philosophy of life. This definitely explains it all. They want to overwhelm the system. They want to keep it so overwhelmed that we don't notice what's going on around us. There's so much big news, just like what's going on with the Durham trial right now. Now, basically, the testimony put Hillary Clinton right at the center of it. She's the one who gave the okay for this. Of course, she had to. It was her campaign money. Her campaign money. People who donated to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, was spent from that campaign fund for the Steele dossier. Now, when you understand what the Steele dossier is about, and there was also another report as well, that the FBI used to justify investigating Donald Trump. And this went on and on and on. You cannot tell me that Rod Rosenstein, James Comey, Peter Strzok, all these other people that were involved in this whole thing, Andy McCabe, they all knew full well what was going on with this dossier. The insiders with the Sussman guy and this law firm, they had an inside track to the FBI. That should never, never be allowed to happen, ever. They didn't go to a field agent. They went directly to management of the FBI. You don't just get an appointment. You just call up and say, "Hey, I want to talk to the director of the FBI." Oh yeah, that's going to happen. I'm just a concerned citizen. Got some information here. We'll talk to the director of the FBI. Oh, okay. Well, are you available anytime in the afternoon tomorrow? He's free all day. Yeah, think about how this kind of stuff happens. Sometimes you have to step back and go, who's really behind the scenes? How's this all happening? Did the FBI get what do you call it? Spoofed? I don't think so. The FBI knew exactly what was going on. They had an agenda, folks. This is getting very... I'm concerned for Durham's life at this point. The Clintons know that he's onto them. The way this trial is unfolding has got to be a little bit alarming to them. Now, of course, one of the issues in all of this is that, will anybody care? You know, when all of this gets done, mainstream media won't even talk about it. In fact, while all this is going on, MSNBC is still talking to the ex administrators that were involved in the Trump campaign or the Trump White House are coming out, and they're like, this one guy's leaving the GOP now. So that's what's on MSNBC. That's the headline on the MSNBC channel on YouTube right now. That's the big news. The big news is all about the these people. Oh, and this is what's interesting too. This Kash Patel interview by Will Cain. One of the interesting things that is brought up, very interesting, is that Fiona Hill was heavily involved in the introduction. It was the Brookings Institute, I think is what she worked for, I believe, if I remember right. Supposedly this non-biased. She's non-biased and she has no agenda. She only wants to see to it that she tells the truth. She's British as well. I believe she was the one who actually connected this Steele guy from Britain, a foreign agent, to Russia who hadn't been in Russia for over 10 years. This interview is extremely interesting. If you can follow it, this guy talks a mile a minute, and they're like, see, these guys are all up on what's going on, and so they're talking through this whole process and whatever everything that happened. They're talking through it very quickly. You almost have to have a little scorecard and slow the thing down and draw out all these people and connect all the dots. But it's very interesting. I mean, and the whole thing it becomes very obvious. And it's very obvious to anybody who's looking at this that there was no coincidence that the FBI continued on with this without tracking down, without tracing any of the characters involved or where the money was coming from to pay for this stuff. Somebody brings you a dossier. Well, who prepared this dossier? Who took the time to do it? How did it get paid for? This stuff isn't cheap. You're paying somebody all this money to do all this research and investigation. People have to live. You don't just travel around and do all this stuff without some kind of bankroll. And yet, that was not a part of the questioning from the FBI. The FBI didn't question at all. In fact, they leaked the story to a news organization in order to triangulate. Because here's what happens. When you get information from one source, you have to basically vet that source. So you have to find out other sources. Well, what they did is they took that information, ran it over to another organization who can break the story. Now you have two sources, even though it was nothing more than the same source leaked to another individual who could then blast it as a second source. Well, there's also a news report on this, which, you know, brings us back to the news media being involved in this stuff. How culpable are they in this whole thing? Of course, they'll scream, oh, freedom of the press. Oh, no, I can't reveal our sources. Oh. Unnamed sources. It's always unnamed sources. Of course, James Comey being the, well, his, let's just say, his fecal matter doesn't stink. That's what he thinks. He believes he's so ethically above everybody else because he teaches ethics at the, he was like an adjunct professor or something, whatever he was. He was an ethics professor at Cambridge or wherever he was at. Ethics. See, this is, and all that is how do I get this accomplished and doing it in an ethical way without it being, you know, how can I squeeze around this even though it's not ethical? I can make it look ethical or I can do it in an ethical way. This is what he did. Just like the day he took his notes from his meeting with President Trump. This is a perfect example of how they do this kind of stuff. He takes his notes from his meeting with President Trump right after Trump got in the office. He shows him all this stuff, tries to shake him down. That's what he does. Tries to put the fear into him of, you know, saying this is what we have. This kind of stuff that's out there. You need to depend on us. We're here to protect you. You know, this is all stuff that you made up. You knew full well what this was about. It was a shakedown, an attempt to try to control him. Well, James Comey takes the notes from that meeting, which should be classified. By its very nature, is classified. You can't go in and have a private meeting with the president and make it public when you're an officer of the law enforcement officer under the direction, the direct supervision of the he's your direct report, by golly. Someone has the right to the ability or the power to fire you. That's your boss. The president and everybody who works for him, any conversations, personal conversations they have with him, are not on the record unless allowed to be so. That's just the nature of the way it works. James Comey, director of the FBI, current director of the FBI at that time, has a conversation with him, takes his notes from that meeting, gives them to a friend of his, because he didn't feel it was ethical for him to give them directly to the press. So he gave them to a friend of his so that friend could deliver them to the press. Think about that for a moment. Now, I can put them in an envelope and put a stamp on it, and my friend, the postman, can take them to some place, can deliver them to where I want them delivered. Well, I don't know. I just gave it to the postman. I didn't give it to that guy. I'm not the one who gave it to him. Postman did that. I didn't give that information away. This is basically what happened here. You can't blame the messenger in this particular case, considering that it was fully intended to go to the press. I don't care how you got it there. Talk about intent. Well, Hillary had no intent to do anything wrong with her servers. Seriously. She did have other cell phones. She did have other servers. She did have all these other things that were breaking the law, but she had no intent of doing anything wrong. Oh, okay. We'll just look over all this stuff then. But, you know, let's go after Trump. Let's spy on him because we have all this phony information. He's going to bring the country down because he's a Russian puppet. He's a puppet of Putin. Well, it's an interesting report, and I think it spells out a lot of the things that we don't want to see. You know, it's one of those things you just don't want to believe that this is what goes on. And I guarantee you it's going on right now. That's the thing we have to realize. This isn't just a one-off event. They've gotten away with this stuff before, which is why they do it now. My wife and I were out for dinner. Our server told us that there was somebody at the restaurant, I guess, they had gotten up, they had their purse hanging over their chair, and they had gotten up, go to the restroom and came back, and they were there for quite a while eating dinner. While they were there eating dinner, they went to pull out their credit card to pay the bill and noticed their credit card wasn't there. She didn't have a credit card in her wallet. She's like, well, where did I put that? She gets on her phone and she starts checking to see where the last place she used it was. The last place she used it was across the street at a like it was like a Walmart type place. It's called Meijer around here, so they're not everywhere in the country. It was at a, you know, a big box store. She was purchasing televisions, all kinds of things. And this was all going on while they were at dinner. Someone had snuck by their table, taken her credit card, and within minutes, gone to the store next door, probably paid for their meal, gone next door, started buying all kinds of things before they even realized that their credit card was even gone. Well, I'm sure if you dig into this, that this was not the first time these people had done this. This is the art of practice and skill here, folks. This is, you don't just wake up in the morning, have, you know, oh, I'm out here having dinner. You know what? I think I'm going to go over there and I'm going to take that person's credit card and go buy a bunch of televisions. It doesn't happen like that. This kind of thing doesn't happen that way either. Oh, just all of a sudden we have this great idea. This is the kind of shady business. I mean, all these people were already knee-deep in this kind of stuff. And you have to wonder where they come up with these ideas. Like this dossier, this steel dossier with all the baloney that's in there. Who's imagining this stuff? Who's coming up with these sick stories? You have to wonder if it's part of their fantasy world. Probably a story that they heard from somebody else. Somebody else did this, actually, probably, all the stuff that they came up with that Trump did. In the meantime, we have monkeypox. We have a border. We have a war going on. We have, you know, Taiwan threat. A threat of China going after Taiwan. We have, what else, you know, what else you want to name? I mean, there's, you know, there's still COVID is still out there, still lingering. They keep bringing it up. Well, I don't know. We'll have a shutdown again or not. I don't know if we'll have a shutdown again or not. We still have to, you know, we're still working on it. Even though the WHO now is saying basically this should be treated like the common flu. It's at that point now. It's just not, you know. Speaking of which, where did the flu go? So the monkeypox outbreak, I think there's like 108, like, what is there? There's a couple hundred people now, I guess, have monkeypox. What they're not telling you, I don't even like to delve into this kind of stuff just because I think it's disgusting, but it's traveling around the world. And let me just say this. There are a lot of male flight attendants out there. And there's a certain way that it's spreading. You're not going to hear about this on the news. I just heard about this yesterday because I did some digging and research into this thing. Who's getting this thing and what's happening here? I believe that all but three cases, which makes you wonder. Yeah. Well, anyway, we got all this big information, all this big stuff going on all over the world, you know, supposedly. They're making big issues of everything. You know, Johnny Depp, of course, his trial, that's making big news. And it just keeps going on and on. Now, I just recently heard another clip from Kamala. Sky News Australia is pretty good about this kind of stuff. They put together this thing about how ridiculously the IQ of Kamala Harris. I think I can play this. Let me see if I can play this. This is Tucker Carlson. I'll see if I can make this work here.
So you never heard anything about Kamala Harris during the 2020 presidential campaign that wasn't about her inspiring firstness. She's black and Indian. She's a first. You must be excited. So She gets elected, and the country wakes up the next morning and realizes, wait, we just elected a low IQ wine mom as vice president.
I'll see if I can find this clip of her talking. It's pretty ridiculous. Here she is. I think this is her talking here.
You know, when we talk about our children, I know for this group, we all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Wow. That's so profound. When we talk about the children of the community, they are the children of the community. Now, I think what she's trying to get at is that the community owns the children. When we talk about the children of the community, in other words, your children in your community are the children of the community. In other words, the community owns them. That's what she's trying to say. But it comes across as just stupid gibberish. This is the whole idea that it takes a village to raise a child. That's the same thing. And for some reason, because we are socially interactive in individuals, we are socially interactive beings, somehow that makes it, well, then the village owns the child, right? Somehow we go from your child is growing up in this particular village, and it takes a whole village to raise that child because, you know, obviously we're all involved in each other's lives to some degree. You have babysitters, you have food, you know, there's the common trade amongst families in terms of, you know, I mow your yard, you pay me, I go get my car washed, you happen to own the car wash place. Just those kinds of things, we interact on a sub-economic level. Well, because of that, you know, our children are raised in that environment, therefore the community owns them. That's where they go with this stuff. We own you, your chattel. That's the common base philosophy of all this stuff. They want to control us, all the while telling us they're just giving us freedom. Now you have the freedom to do whatever you want as long as it's what we want you to do. And when you're told you have to speak a certain way, you have to use certain pronouns, you can't say Mother's Day anymore. You can't just say mothers. You have to say birthing people. No, you can't use that term anymore. It's birthing people now. Like, well, okay then. Who's the fascist now? Who's telling me what I can and can't say? These people don't realize what fascism is. The Antifa individuals, anti-fascist individuals, who want to force us into a particular way of speaking, using certain terminology or not using other terminology, because we're all racist. They're anti-fascist. By the way, a fascist and a racist are two different things, but they sound derogatory, so they just use that. I'm reminded of a little song. Everything is awesome. That little song, Everything is Awesome. Just with the Democrats, it's everything is racist. It's just that's really the song that should be written. Maybe I should do that song. It's been almost a year since I've had the, probably not a year. It's probably been less than a year. The TNA to Me Singers, the News According to Me Singers, have not been in the studio for a long time. If you go back to some of the early episodes, by the way, just when Rabbi Rick was here, and we had the singers come in once in a while, they would do songs. Some of those were pretty funny. I think to me they were funny. Most people, you know, would probably listen to them and just say you're insane. But I thought they were funny. It was back during some of the, you know, Trump was still president, by the way, when I started this show. At least when I started the podcast. Trump was not president when I started the YouTube channel, The News According to Me. Now, The News According to Me YouTube channel was kind of a hokey deal, but it was like a guy, you know, in his office just with a green screen, just trying to do his thing. But I was very outspoken about gun rights and all kinds of other things. And I was very early, I was shadow banned. My listenership went from, some of my YouTube videos were just directly pulled by YouTube. And it just disappeared. I don't know what happened to them. I was not informed or anything. They were just gone. I was never monetized on YouTube. I never did that. I never went that route. So I never really worried about it. Well, in the meantime, I mean, maybe that's why they thought they could just pull things when it didn't matter. They weren't making any money on it either. So maybe they were. It's one of those things where you don't know unless you have people like out there spot checking, pulling up your videos to see if there's advertisements on them. You have no idea. You don't know. I didn't want advertisements on my videos. I still don't have advertisements, by the way. I don't have a sponsor. I don't do any advertising on the show. There's no, it's not brought to you by anybody but me. It's just me and my opinion. That's the me and the news according to me part is. Not the news according to Pfizer. It's not the news according to, some other company. I'm not owned by anybody. It's just me standing out there shouting in the wind what my opinion is. That's pretty much all. That's about all it is. Is anybody out there? Anybody at all? Speaking of listenership, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing this podcast, by the way. Taking the time to listen to it, probably on double speed so that you can get through it quicker and not have to, so you can find the funny parts. And once the little zingers, like the three or four zingers I shoot out there throughout the show, that might be might make you chuckle. But the news and information brought to you here is all done so by just me tripping on it through the internet, typically. That's what you got. Now, here's the whole nature of the show. For those of you, I've got a lot of new listeners right now, so I'm going to kind of cover exactly what we're doing here. Why are you spending time listening to me? This is the question you need to ask yourself. And one of the things that is, it's not so much that I drill down on any particular story, typically. Now, this Steele dossier thing, I think, is something that really needs to be brought to the forefront of news media right now, because it is a huge story. This is a big deal. People should be in prison right now for what happened there. This was, talk about a coup. This was a coup. This was an attempt to upset a sitting president. Not upset him, like make him mad. It was an attempt to overthrow an elected president. Now, Tucker Carlson the other night actually made a little comment. It was last night, actually, about supposedly, he didn't say it that way. He said 81 million people voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And he made a comment that wasn't true either, that there wasn't 81. I don't remember how he said it. I'm not going to try to quote him on it, but he basically made it clear that he doesn't believe that 81 million people voted for Joe Biden. It's kind of funny the way he said it. He sneaks those little singers in there once in a while. And I know Fox News is not supposed to. They basically have a policy there right now saying they can't question the election. But he was obviously doing that in a way that was obvious, but not directly doing that. I thought it was pretty clever. Clever guy, that Tucker guy. He's pretty clever. So we ended up... So he's going on about this whole thing. And I can't remember where I was going with this. See, this is why Tucker is Tucker and I'm not. But the whole point is I listened to a lot of different YouTube channels, broadcasts, and YouTube, Fox News, CNBC or MSNBC, all these different news organizations. For some reason I said that's singular. I don't know why. That's kind of weird. Like I stopped in the middle of a word. I think my brain is going, it's shorting out. I'm turning into Joe Biden right before your eyes. There we go. That was my Joe Biden impression. This guy, I try to glean I try to glean as much information from all these different sources. I get a lot of stuff from Epoch Times, you know, Facts Matter, Roman Balmakov, Balmakov, Real News Network, all these different places that I get news feeds from. Even The Blaze and all kinds of other things. And I try to compile all this stuff and kind of take a step back and listen to it and try to ask the questions. And I think that's what I do here on the show is I try to bring up the questions that help us to do some critical thinking about what we're seeing and what we're hearing, what we're being told, all the propaganda and the narrative. And hopefully in the process of doing some of this, that I can kind of bring about a way of thinking for you. This is one of the things I think Rush Limbaugh really helped me with throughout my years growing up listening to him. The ability to step back and think about what is actually going on here. What are we doing? Who's controlling the narrative? You know, one of the things, this is just a side story, but I think it relates to this whole topic. The kind of question you need to ask yourself once in a while is, well, who's the person really in charge here? Who's really pulling the strings? What's really happening here? And here's a case in point where it's kind of an analogy or a story that kind of parallels this. My nephew and I, my nephew's really into crypto stuff. So I've kind of, by default, I've kind of started joining in. So we got these little miners. There's something called Helium. It's called the People's Network, and what it's doing is this little Helium network thing. Somehow it's a thing. It's going to be nationwide eventually, and it is a network based on all these little routers. And the routers mine for a cryptocurrency called Helium. But at the same time, this router system now is going to be used to link people to database information, kind of its own little intranet. Well, it's spreading around the country, around the world, really, around the country like crazy. It is really spreading like crazy. And the little things called the miners, the little things that do the mining, the little router things, they have this. You set them up and you put a little antenna up wherever you're living, wherever you want to set it up. And then this thing, talks to the routers. It does all this calculating, does everything it's doing. And then you earn money this way. It pays back for in Helium. It pays you, which is, right now Helium's kind of low, like all the other cryptos right now. Speculation is that this thing's going to go 100x at some point, probably more than that, at least. So at some point, the whole thing is kind of interesting. Now, I've gotten involved in it. Well, the whole idea is that this whole thing is based on, it's the people's miner. It's the people's miner. Well, recently there was some updates being done to the miner, and they push these out. In other words, because here you have this thing hooked up to the internet, and it's communicating data everywhere. It's the people's miner, so it's this people's network type thing. It's what they're touting it as. Well, recently this thing was kind of, it was basically shut down for a little while. Like you couldn't get it to work, couldn't get it to operate. It wasn't doing anything for a couple of days. Of course, there's a whole network of people on Reddit and some other places going nuts with this thing. And they were like, oh, what's happening? The system shut down. Well, no, they were just going through a whole update thing that they pushed out, and it took a little time for everything to catch up. So again, of course, anybody who received a new router at the time, then they, the, Because the routers now have gone up in price like crazy. If you buy one directly from the company, it takes about 12 weeks to get it, 3 months to get one. That's how ridiculous the demand is. But you can buy one on eBay right now for a couple thousand dollars directly. If you buy it, if you want to have to have it right now, I would not do that right now. Maybe I should. I don't know. I'm probably going to kick myself for not doing it. I wouldn't pay that kind of money for it. So I bought a couple of them directly. I had to wait a long time. I had to wait 3 months. Of course, in the meantime, the price of helium went down. There were people making, you know, upwards of $1,000 a month with these little things. If you got in early on it. That's not happening right now, but potentially it could again. All right, the whole point is, this whole story that we now wasted 10 minutes on, is the idea that this is the people's router. That's a great slogan, isn't it? And yet the people who own the routers don't really have any say in what's going on with it. We didn't vote on an update. We didn't vote on this or that. We didn't, you know, prepare for any of this stuff. We don't have any say in what's going on with it, but somehow it's the people's router. Now, one of the things that kind of concerns me about this whole system is, what are they going to do with this network once they get it, you know, fully established? What is it really doing out there? Do we really know? Is it spying on all the data that's in your home? What's going on here? I don't know. This could be a way to take over the entire planet. I don't know. But in the meantime, it's fun. You know, hey, it's fun watching the world being taken over by, you know, the people's network. Anything with this idea that the people's stuff, the people's, you know, army, the people's this and that, that's typically a communist thing. It's a slogan that typically comes from the communist type parties type stuff. So the question is that what's going on here? Are we being duped? And we're the ones supplying the energy to do so. And they're just paying for it. I mean, you got to think, you know, there's billions and billions and billions of dollars out there that went to NGOs, non-government organizations, that is now fully well-funded and could be funding things like voting boxes and mules and all of, you know, you stop and think about the mule thing, the 2000 Mules movie, in which there were way more than 2,000 of them, I guarantee you. Who's paying them all? And when you got 2,000 mules and they're making drop-offs, I think most of them made between 30 and 40 drop-offs on average, the way I understand it. But let me see if I can pull up my little calculator here. So let's say that they make 35 drop-offs. 35, and they're getting $10 per drop. That's $350 that they made in that night of doing whatever they were doing. That's at least, some of them were making 20, some of them were making twice that. And all these drops that they were doing. So they made, you know, several hundred dollars that night. Running these, this, and some of them made a lot more. And this is like conservative figures, because most of this, they're saying that they were making a lot more than that, doing a lot more drops than that, but they don't have any record. They're trying to keep this on a little bit more of a conservative idea, not conservative politically, but just on the low end, this is at least what they were doing. Now you take $350 times 2,000 people, we're looking at $700,000 right there. They've paid out. This is on the low end. The other estimates go much higher. The drop boxes themselves, because they were, these are just in certain areas. So this is just a certain number of these, like I think they had four or five different areas that they were monitoring. Cities that had drop boxes. There were a whole lot more drop boxes out there. Much of the funding to put the drop boxes in came from people like, oh, Zuckerbuck, as Mike Lindell calls him, the guy who owns Facebook. Well, we shouldn't allow one person to have so much power in social media. Oh, they were talking about Elon Musk, not Zuckerbuck. It was okay when the other guys, you know, the Twitter guys and all those people were called before Congress. We're calling them before Congress. Oh, well, then we're going to get answers now, aren't we? We're going to get, they're going to straighten up. I got called in the principal's office. Yeah, that really helped, didn't it? That changed everything. So we have this stuff going on. There's got to be big money behind it. Now, the mules were just a tip of the iceberg here, folks. The real money was spent on collecting and filling out those ballots. There's huge numbers of people now, it's being found out, who went into nursing homes and forced people to vote. People who didn't even know who the president was. The last president they remember was JFK. And here we are. They're voting for some president. They don't know who the president is. So who's filling out the ballot? That's the question. And who's paying them to go out and get those ballots filled out? You see, when you mail ballots out to every single individual in the community, including their dogs in some cases, these are floating around out there, and somehow they eventually get filled out and sent in. But, you know, there wasn't a smidgen, not a smidgen of corruption in the election. You know, so don't worry about that. It wasn't a problem at all. Let's go on to some other headlines right now. This is, I think I might start this thing called Technical Tuesday. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. This is just top of my head thinking here. Maybe talk about technical stuff, like what's going on with Apple. Apple is actually pulling a lot of their production out of China right now. Like 90% of their production is being done in China. They're pulling that out. They're talking about going to India. And so I think, where's the other place? I think it might have been someplace in Africa. Yeah, so they're talking about doing that, which is because of the whole, and the reason's not because of the Communist Party. The reason is because of the COVID lockdown, the strict COVID policies. That's why they're pulling out. They're not pulling out because of issues with human rights or anything like that. That has nothing to do with it. So, here's some headlines. has nothing to do with technical stuff. That thought just kind of crossed my mind. I thought about it. I might just use Tuesdays to talk about technical stuff like that, like more internet, web-based type technical stuff, like computers and the computer industry and everything that's going on with that stuff. In fact, one of the things I want to bring up before I go into more of this, the president of Pfizer actually in 2018 made a comment about a pill that could be taken that would dissolve in a person's, and it was actually a transponder, a transducer type thing that you would swallow. And in the process of doing so, you could monitor medications that a person was taking, and you would know whether or not they actually took the pill or not. So the medication, like especially for psychotropics, like things like people with schizophrenia and other things, you would immediately know whether or not they took their pill or not because it would dissolve in their stomach and that it would transmit a signal to let you know that the pill was taken for compliance purposes. Gee, I love hearing the word compliance. Comply! That's always comforting to know that they're going to force you to comply with something and that they have the ability to do that. Did you take your pill? No, you didn't take your pill. We know you didn't take your pill. You gotta take your pill. Did you take your vaccine? Well, we know you didn't take it because you don't have the little markers in you. Yeah, that's a whole other story. The whole vaccine thing, we covered that a little bit yesterday. We'll cover it more, I'm sure, in the weeks ahead. But this is from Real News Network. Let's just go through some of their headlines here. Ex-Fox News reporter, calls out Tucker Carlson, started to talk like Joe, and says White House needs to confront social media to stop disinformation online with violators sent to jail or something worse. Something worse. In the aftermath of the Buffalo supermarket shooting, Carlson has been hit with more allegations that he promotes white nationalist talking points on his show. Cameron earlier said that those who are accused of promoting, this is Cameron, what's the guy's name? I didn't have it up there in the beginning. His last name's Cameron. He used to work for Fox News. Cameron earlier said that those who are accused of promoting misinformation should be put in jail. So the Fox News said in 2019 statement that Cameron left the network because he could no longer show up for work every day while he dealt with a multitude of personal struggles. I don't know what his personal struggles were. He couldn't show up for work every day. Former chief political correspondent has joined a chorus of voices calling for serious repercussions against Tucker Carlson, one of the network's most prominent voices. Carl Cameron, that's the guy's name, was asked, do you think the Murdoch family in charge of Fox will ever pull the plug on Tucker? Well, of course not, because he's the most listened to guy on the planet right now. During an interview with CNN's Jim Acosta on Saturday, there's another highly credible individual, Jim Acosta. Cameron, 60, my age, went on to compare Carlson's broadcast to falsely shouting fire in a crowded movie theater. Now, the question I have always had is it wrong to shout movie in a crowded firehouse? That's the question I've always had. It's the other side of the coin. It's just a dilemma. I stay awake at night thinking about things like this. The fact of the matter is, this is a quote, the fact of the matter is, if you disturb the peace by starting a riot in a movie theater, cops are going to arrest you, and you might end up in jail, or you might end up in something worse. Cameron went on to challenge President Joe Biden to take serious action against Carlson and social media. This is how ridiculous these people are. They want Joe Biden to take serious action against Carlson. How does Joe Biden do that? He's a political opponent, so you want him to crack down on his political opponent. And in terms of just punditry, well, I'm not talking about a candidate. This is the kind of fascist kind of baloney. These people don't even realize they're stepping in it. Let's say that somebody is on television and they're espousing white supremacy. Now, it would be nice if the entire country would shout them down and say, we're not going to listen to you, and they just shut them off. They turn them off. But what if the entire country gets behind that? What if the person stays online on the air? Does the person have the right to stay on the air? Should they be jailed for such speech? Well, I don't like it. I don't like that kind of speech. But they absolutely should not be jailed for it. Do you understand the principles here that you are giving up? The things that you're tossing in the trash can by making such statements? Tucker Carlson is a pundit. He has opinions. He opines about things, much like I do. I don't know what those words mean. I can't spell them. But they know this stuff. They use big words all the time. they probably refrain from, they have to hold themselves back from using large words, whereas I struggle to use one a day. I have to look up something in the morning. I'm trying to use that word in a sentence today. So at some point I could look smart or sound smart. This is the kind of stuff that just, they don't realize that what they're stepping in here. First, they create this monster out there, this Trumpism, this ultra-mega crowd. Nothing more scary than this ultra-mega crowd. The MAGA bunch out there. Which just make America great against what MAGA stands for, by the way. It has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with Trump. It's just that it's not a Trump statement. It's not make Trump great again. Trump happened to be the one who rallied people around that statement. But that's, you know, we get lost in the facts here. This is the kind of stuff that they create this monster out there and they start to believe it themselves. Well, Trump's a racist monster. He's a supremacist. He's a fascist. He's a dictator. He's going to take over. He tried to usurp the government. He tried to take over on January 6th and his followers were going to take over the government. We almost lost our nation. Folks, we're losing our, I don't know if you realize this, we're losing our nation right now with the people that are in charge. Our nation is a set of principles that we have that is unfortunately being pulled out from under us, usurped. They're finding new ways of, they're constantly trying to find new ways to destroy our republic every day. To take the power away from the people and tell them all the time, all the meantime, oh no, we're giving you rights, we're giving you more power, we're giving you more, all the marginalized people out there, we're defending them as well. We're making this better for everybody. And you are who? It's, you're giving us rights? Or you're deciding who gets the rights and who doesn't get the rights? It's the kind of rhetoric that's extremely dangerous because where it leads to, what it leads to. They're progressing to something. When you're a progressive, that means you're moving to something. You're progressing on to something. What is the end game here? What is the end goal? See, the founders understood. Here it is. Here's the establishment rules. This is the way it should be. Now let's work to form a more perfect union. Now, what they meant by that was that the union itself was not measuring up to the standards that they put in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So now we have to flesh this out. We have to create a more perfect union. In other words, we have to try to adhere to the founding principles better and better and more. We have to hold that standard now and allow that standard to flesh out in every part of our society. And that whole standard of philosophical standard is based on individual rights. The rights of the individual, and in my opinion, those rights start the moment you are conceived. You are life, and you have a right to life. The latest ridiculous statements that I've been hearing is that this idea that anti-abortionism is really an attempt to try to keep white people from becoming a minority in the country. But we don't want people to abort their white babies. Sir, the number, this was somebody who got up in Congress the other day touting this idea. This is just another one of those replacement theory scandals. These white people this is the whole motivation for people who don't want abortion, is that they want to make sure that the white race stays, you know, so that there's more of them, so they don't become a minority. You know, I don't know of anybody in my circles at all who care about that at all. I don't care if there are more black people, more brown people, whatever. has nothing to do with it. It's about a philosophical way of being. My concern is that there seems to be this militant idea that when the white man becomes a minority, we're taken over. That's, some of these people have that mentality. Now, I'm not saying that's in the black community at all. So there are some, though, that have that idea. Retribution. Vengeance. That's what these people want, some of them. Payback. It's payback time. Which is just ridiculous. To become the very thing that you've said you've hated for so long. So, this guy makes this statement. This is the motivation for people who are anti-abortion. And guess what? May I remind you, sir, as I think maybe somebody tried to on the House floor, basically. I'm not sure that it really got accomplished. The numbers of abortions among the black community are 4-1 what they are in the white community. I'm just stating statistics here. I'm not making any assumptions. I'm not making any statements about anybody. All I'm saying is, obviously, anti-abortion, if there were no more abortions, there would be a lot more African-American children born in this country. Most anti-abortionists know this. It is well established among the right-to-life community. From its very beginning, Planned Parenthood, the largest promoter of abortions in this nation, was started by Margaret Sanger, a known I don't even want to talk about her. Let's just say she was a social engineer who knew that this could be a way to reduce the black population in the country. And they've got no problem with that. Well, folks, I know I've gone a little bit over on my show today, time-wise, but I want to thank you for listening, and thank you for hanging in there in the seriousness of this whole thing. There comes my bumper music. I saw it coming. I could tell it was coming there. Later on this week, I think I'll be moving some things around here in my studio. I will finally be able to get my, get my sound booth up and running, which will actually improve the sound somewhat, which I know that's why you tune in, because you want to hear these silky pipes blasting away the opinion of a deranged individual coming from a rubber room here in northern Indiana. So I'll just be praying for the nation, and I hope you'll join me. We'll be praying together for our leaders, for our nation, for the individuals that this country stands for. And God bless everybody. Have a great day.